When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
August 1st, 2024. It is Game Time Decisions. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you hanging with us here as... Can you smell that? It's football, and it's back tonight. The Hall of Fame game will take center stage here as we only have five Major League Baseball games to go over, but we got plenty of football talk coming your way. No better way to kick off the month of August than with a little football and Hall of Fame. Now, nobody is going to mistake the Hall of Fame game for a playoff game, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun to see some football back in action between the Bears and the Texans. We'll have the latest on that game coming up for you. And again, I mentioned just five Major League Baseball games tapped here for tonight. We'll go over each of them. We got a start coming up here in the bottom of the hour. Some interesting matchups. We got George Kurtz coming up. We'll get his thoughts on the early slate of games. We also have, well, the Olympics, the 2024 Olympics. It was one heck of a day for Team USA, and it all began with Simone Biles and Suni Lee both medaling in the main event of the day, the women's all-around gymnastics, and wouldn't you know it, Simone Biles is an absolute god, winning the gold. Not only in 2016, but she ends up coming back after a disappointing Japan Olympics there in 2020, 2021. But boy, oh boy, did she come back with a vengeance here, nailing it in the end in order to take home gold. Now, six gold medals in total for her. Quite simply, the greatest female gymnastics player ever. Just absolutely unbelievable what she did on the floor to nail it and win it. And Suni Lee, kudos to her. What a lot of people don't realize with Suni Lee is, yes, when Simone Biles had to back out of the Olympics back in 2020-21, Suni Lee stepped right in and got the gold for Team USA in this event. But she did also have to battle over the last 15 months a kidney disease. And for her to be on that podium with a bronze medal was pretty special. In fact, this is just one of the first time that we have seen two medalists from the same country on the podium in gymnastics. It doesn't happen very often, and it certainly doesn't happen in consecutive Olympics. And that is exactly what happened here today. So kudos to the U.S. women's gymnastics team, and Simone Biles are getting it done once again. As you can see, that current medal count, 9 gold, 15 silver, 13 bronze, 37 in total. And that total count, of course, Team USA is right there at the top. Couple of more golds we anticipate are coming. One of them will, without a doubt, come from the U.S. women's basketball team as they met Belgium earlier today. And how did that go? Well, just like you would anticipate, Team USA handled their business, beating Belgium there 87-74. Now, give Belgium credit. They got some players. They also played earlier this year in an exhibition game, one in which their Team USA did not have Asia Wilson, did not have Sus Gray, did not have, Griner, didn't have three of their best players, but were still able to beat Belgium in that exhibition game. That's a totally different story now. As you can see, pretty easy victory for Team USA. They will advance and in all likelihood be right on their way to getting another gold. They have not lost an Olympic game. This women's national basketball team here for USA has not lost a game in the Olympics since 1992. Absolutely epic, unbelievable run that they have had. And it's also extremely well-deserved because nobody messes with women's basketball here in the Olympics. Also, a big shout-out. We talked about it last night. How about the United States, the old guard? How about Katie Ledecky in the pool continuing to make history at the Paris Olympics? She was part of the 4x200-meter freestyle relay team earlier in the day that, well, of course, won a silver medal. And the United States, once again with Ledecky as a part of that, was only beaten by Australia, and it wasn't by much. But with that medal, Katie Ledecky has now won more Olympic medals than any other female swimmer in the history of the Olympics. Unbelievable. She got a gold medal yesterday in the 1500-meter freestyle by setting an Olympic record time, and she now surpasses everyone as being the single most decorated Olympian in the pool in the history of the games. That is just absolutely astounding there. So kudos to Katie Ledecky and to the women's team as they continue to get it done. We also had plenty of golf early start in the morning there. I think right around 3 a.m. Eastern time is when the opening round started to get going. And boy, oh boy, what a show put on here earlier today by a whole bunch of guys. Hideki Matsuyama, Japan's Hideki Matsuyama, comes out blazing in Paris to have right now the lead. Again, it's a four-day stroke event, so there is plenty of golf, but Hideki Matsuyama was not messing around. Comes out, fires a monster 8-under round there to have the lead. And as you can see, some of the numbers have shifted a little bit. And who'd have thunk it, right? Xander Schauffele, who is the defending gold winner in golf from 4 years ago, he had another tremendous round. He is right there, just 2 strokes back. And of course, we also know, well, you know who is hanging around there, that being Scottie Scheffler, the reigning Masters champion. And him, by the way, Scheffler and Schauffele have combined to win 3 of 4 majors this year. And now in the final 54 holes, they're going to be competing for a podium spot here at Le Golf National in France. Should be a epic next 3 days. In fact, talking some of the interviews after the Olympic golf, it was kind of funny that they were a little taken back by how many people were actually out on the golf course. They did not expect that many people to be out on the golf course. And unlike what you would see at the U.S. Open or most tournaments here in the country, where there's not a lot of cameras clicking, people talking, they don't have those same rules in Olympic golf. So They were a little taken back, a lot of the U.S. players, including Scottie Scheffler, since this is his first time at the Olympics. He was a little taken back about how noisy it was, with about a zillion cameras all going off at the same time while he's taking his backswing. He equated it to his time playing all of those, par three events leading up to the Masters. He said he recalls a lot of those events in which there were cameras and distractions going on all over the place. And he said, I had to remind myself that I played pretty well during those events, that I could block it out and get it done. But everybody from Rory to Scheffler, all pretty impressed with the crowds that came out to see them, especially with all the other events that were going on in the pool. And of course, gymnastics and basketball. They certainly had a ton of fans out on the golf.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Of course, here today, Brady Cannon, they'll be by a little bit later. We'll get his thoughts on what happened today and take a look at some of these updated odds to see if there's any place or any value that we can grab here if you haven't bet this already. So we've got much more to come here on Game Time Decisions, including NFL football. That's right, it's back. We'll talk about it next year on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Can you believe it? It's August 1st. We've got football back. In fact, we have Thursday night football. From here on out, every Thursday we'll have some sort of football moving forward throughout the end of the year and then beyond. So we're excited. Unfortunately, with the return of football comes some pretty troubling news from a couple of different camps. We'll start with the Los Angeles Chargers. As it's being reported, Justin Herbert just sustained an injury to his plantar fascia in his right foot. He is, however, they say, expected to be ready for the start of the regular season. Chargers said that the injury was diagnosed following Wednesday's training camp practice. But that's interesting given the fact that he didn't miss a snap during that training camp practice. So it's not really, we're not quite sure exactly when, what play or where it happened, but he completed practice as of Wednesday. And now the doctors are saying that they recommend that he wear a walking boot on his right foot for approximately 2 weeks and then gradually return to play. The reality of this is, they are not anticipating it being a detriment unless something else happens, and you never know with these foot injuries. But it sounds like he's just going to have to play with pain this year, and they're going to have to do their best to manage it. So not great news for Charger fans, not great news for Titan fans, as we also learned that the Titans' DeAndre Hopkins, one of the more prolific wide receivers in the game, well, guess what? He hurt his knee. So he, too, now looking to miss at least, they are saying, 4 to 6 weeks, at least from initial diagnosis there. So D-Hop going to be on the shelf to start the season no matter what for the Titans. And we'll keep our fingers crossed with Justin Herbert, not on the IL, however, is our good friend George Kurtz. He is ready to roll. Football, no doubt, back on our minds here, George. Not a great way to start August with news of injuries like this. That always stinks, but we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best with the game coming up here tonight. The Hall of Fame game, of course, we know no starters for Chicago, so this is certainly not going to be confused with any sort of playoff game. But this is, it's always good to see football back. Predominantly, usually unders reign true in this game here. What are you looking for, if anything, here tonight in this one?
And that's what I had early in the week, right? I wanted the under as well. There's some preseason games, especially when they're early, are generally boring. They're dull. They don't want to show you anything. None of the starters are going here. But the under got a little crazy here. Last I checked earlier today, we were down at 30.5. You know, so unless that number has bounced back up here, I mean, they want you to take the over. And that always concerns me, right? Because it smells a little bit. They want you to take the over. And currently it has bounced back up to 32.5, like the graphic said. So I guess money has come in on the over to balance it out. At 32.5, I'm back to the under. All right, so yeah, that's where I had it early in the week. That's where I'm going to go with now. Listen, things can happen. We get turnovers in the game here, but nobody's playing. There's nothing to prove here, right? Listen, the thing I want to see most in this game is probably the kickoffs. I want to see how those are going to affect the game because nobody really knows. And maybe that'll affect the over-under as well if teams have much better starting field position than we expect here. I'm on the under, not a big play here. I'm going to take the plus money with the Bears as well. Once again, I think it was plus 110 when I got it. See, it's plus 120 now. So you get a little better price if you wait in here. There's no rhyme or reason for this. It's the first game of the season. There's not much baseball tonight, so I'm going to bet this. I'll take the plus money.
Plus money here tonight for Chicago and an under. We all know the public is never going to bet an under here, an under. They're always going to bet overs because they're happy to see football back. But we all know that defenses are always ahead of the offenses this time of year. Should be fun to get that one going off here. And we mentioned never fun to start with injury news, which is what's happened here in the NFL, but it is absolutely devastating to hear that the Angels are absolutely going to be out for the foreseeable future with Mike Trout, who again tore his meniscus in his already surgically repaired knee. They were working him back. It happened apparently at when he was rehabbing. And it just now the MRI shows he's got a tear in his meniscus and there's going to be more surgery. There is no more playing this year. And quite honestly, Kurtz, in the same knee, who the hell knows when he's going to be back? I mean, just another dagger in what could have been maybe the greatest career in the history. And that's saying something of Major League Baseball. But this poor guy, he can't stay healthy. It's unbelievable to me.
He hasn't played more than 140 games in a season since 2016. Yep. All right. He's only played more than 120 games twice during that time. He played 29 games this year. Only played, 82 last year, half a season, 119, 36, 53. I mean, it's a shame because you're right. We don't need him to play 150, but if he could have averaged 135, the numbers he would put up would be staggering here. Just staggering. So we've been robbed of that. All right, we've been wrong. He has lots of abilities. Availability is not one of them. And I don't think that's going to change. He'll be 33 years old next year. You know, I don't see that changing. People hoping he gets traded. No one's trading for that contract with somebody who can't play. Right, who's not available. Yep. He'll be an Angel for life. I don't think they're going to buy that deal down when they're going to eat so much contract. It's not going to happen. But just it's a shame. The bottom line, it's a shame. It's a shame for the Angels, although they couldn't win with them anyway. Right? They couldn't win with Trout and Ohtani, so maybe that doesn't make a difference. But we've been robbed of that.
When you look at the numbers, just since 2021, for instance, through this year, he's only played 266 out of a possible 648 games. That's 41% of the games he played in. I mean, the dude still has a WAR above 10, Kurtz. Could you imagine what we would be dealing with if the guy actually played in, 60% of the games available to him? It's going to go down as one of the, I don't know, is it bad luck? It's not like he's not in shape. It's just, it's to me, this is all about luck, and nobody has had worse of it than Mike Trout in his career thus far.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Plenty more to go on Major League Baseball. 5 games on the slate tonight. We'll start breaking them down next here on Game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. Welcome into August. As it feel, right? Football is back tonight, the Hall of Fame game. Just a 5-game slate here, small slate in Major League Baseball. George Kurtz back with us. We were just discussing just the unbelievable bad luck for one of the greatest baseball players of a generation who could have been considered the greatest of all time had he stayed healthy. But Mike Trout, if you're just joining us, has blown out his knee again, his already surgically repaired knee, in a rehab assignment, trying to come back and play this year. For what reason, I have no idea, George. But he is out, and we were trying to come up with another absolute superstar talent that unfortunately couldn't stay healthy, and pretty much that's going to be the narrative of their career. And the only person I think we can come up with it is Bo Jackson. I think that's the only one, and he might just be the greatest athlete ever, although I think Mike Trout could have played football if he wanted to. I think they're cut from the same mold, Kurtz.
I think Mike Trout could have played football, absolutely. All right. You see the size of that guy's neck and his shoulders. I mean, yeah, I think he would have maybe a little linebacker there, running back, you know, sitting there. I mean, Bo Jackson, that's another guy we were robbed of, right, to see what he could have done. Mm-hmm. And I think it was you or Chris Koski behind the scenes saying, what if he only would have played the one sport? Right, it would have even been better if he was just a baseball player or just a football player. I still remember the play he got hurt on that destroyed his hip. Right, it is what it is. There, it's going to happen time and time again. We're going to be robbed of seeing greatness because of injury. It's just the nature of sports.
Do yourself a favor at home here for the generation that didn't grow up with Bo Jackson. Just go to YouTube and watch type in Bo Jackson and Brian Bosworth and just sit back and get coming. The popcorn and just let me know what you think of what could have been with Bo Jackson. We've got a interesting slate of games here coming up tonight here, Kurtz. Orioles Guardians getting ready to go here in just about 15 minutes. Lively against the newly acquired Trevor Rogers from Miami, who, you know, quietly, he started off so bad with Miami this year. He had, what, a 2-9 record? But under the radar, his last 5-6 starts have been lights out. The guy is real. This is what he is capable of. Now he's got a team that can actually win some games. Do they have enough to be able to handle business against the Guardians tonight on the road?
It's an interesting question, right? Because Rogers first start with this new team. Now, he is pitching in Cleveland, pitches ballpark there, so that's good. A lefty is good against Cleveland. You sort of neutralize some of their players there. So if you think he's going to be fine, you know, not going to have the nerves of pitching for a new team, a team that's first place in the division, then I like Baltimore tonight. I do. I think it's a good spot for him here. Baltimore, they did lose Westbrook, right? Got hit on the wrist last night, so he's out. Maybe the end of the regular season. They set down Kirst today as well. They acquired Eloy Jimenez at the deadline here. Bottom line is this. I think it's a close game either way. I don't think this is a one. Whoa, this team's definitely going to win. But I'm going to take the Orioles. I'm going to like the pitching matchup just a little bit better.
Going to be interesting to see here. Brandon Hyde, interesting that immediately throws Trevor Rogers into what is a absolutely decimated situation in that rotation. So I think it's a good pick. I think you're going to be surprised what Trevor Rogers can do. Also coming up this hour, Royals, Tigers, Seth Lugo going up against Montero. I mean, the Tigers, they're just, what do they have left here? They've traded any decent piece. And Riley Green's not healthy. So are you going to beat Seth Lugo?
No. Right? I only needed to hear the Riley Green not healthy part. All right? That I'm on. This is the easiest chalk of the night. Right? I'm on the Royals. You want to take him on the run line? Fine. Minus 102. It was minus 154 earlier today when I took them. It's minus 162 now. You want to put him in a parlay? Maybe with the Braves? I'll take that against the Marlins tonight as well here. So lots of different ways to play the Royals tonight. Give me the Royals.
Oh, you got to go with the Royals here. All right. And then, of course, one other game next hour. You mentioned those Marlins and Braves, Charlie Morton. The Braves should just keep rolling, right? Although the Marlins have been frisky, to say the least, here as of late.
They have been, and good for them, by the way, to really come out and still play hard despite trading half your team here. That being said, the Braves need the game. Morton didn't pitch well his last time out. He'll pitch better tonight. Once again, if you're going to take the money line, you got to parlay it. I don't mind going the run line as well here, minus 102. Don't mind that. Although Max Meyer, I do kind of like him here. I'd rather parlay with the Royals.
Choking on this chalk you're throwing out here, Kurtz. My goodness here. It is a chalky George Kurtz. Kind of night. Don't let him fool you. We still need that chalk graphic is what we need. George, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your night. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this first day of August. Can you believe it? August 1st, 2024, and we are in the midst of plenty of great Olympic action. And quite honestly, there's no shortage of narratives so far for Team USA, as we saw Simone Biles win gold again in the all-around today. Katie Ledecky now becoming the all-time medal winner in the pool for women. So we've also watched the women's basketball team win again today, a record, I believe, 57 straight now. They have not lost an Olympic game since 1992. And the coach, James Young, was on this show before the Olympics started and said, they ain't losing a quarter, not one quarter, the rest of the way through. And coach, I'm pretty sure they have not lost a quarter yet here. And kudos to Belgium. They played a very close game, even though we were without all our stars earlier in an exhibition game. Belgium's a good team, but it's just quite apparent nobody is in our league in women's basketball.
No, but Joe, I was wrong. They tied the first, and they lost the third by a point.
No, did they really?
They lost 50-14 in the third. So there goes. But hey, I told everybody to run their money back every quarter. So at least we lost.
That's a good point.
So we'll start over again next game. But to me, Joe, listen. It, simply put, Asia Wilson and Breanna Stewart could probably carry us to the gold medal playing 2-on-5. They're that good.
That's so true.
They're that dominant. They went 49 points and they went 17 for 31 from the floor. 49 points. I want people to realize that. 49 points they scored. 17 for 31 from the floor. You want stats? I'll give you stats. How about the first game versus Japan? Did y'all see what those two put up in that game? And the fact of they completely dominate. Folks, they're the two best players in the world by a wide margin. Like, like this isn't like, you know, oh, I could say three other people are, you know, top five. Like, they're not near us, near those two. Look at it in Japan.
Wow.
21 out of 31. Coach, so they had an off night.
It's crazy.
They had an off night, Joe, and they got 73. So here's the thing, folks. We're going to win the gold.
Yeah.
Our problem is our guard play. And I know Chelsea Gray was fabulous in the first game, 13 assists. That's Japan. They stink. I think you got to do one of two things. You either got to put Sabrina Ionescu in the starting lineup in replace of Chelsea Gray, put her at the one, or keep the point guard at the one, put Sab at the two, move Diana Taurasi to the three, and then play Stewart and Asia Wilson 4-5. Because Nafisa Collier and that big girl lineup ain't making sense because we need to space the floor. So either put arguably one of your best shooters, which is either Sab or Plum in the starting lineup. I think Sab's playing better. Or get Nafisa Collier out of the starting lineup. Preferably maybe both. Because I just think Nafisa Collier plays for the Minnesota Lynx. Who's the coach? Cheryl Reeve. Who's the coach? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Minnesota Lynx. I'm just saying. I love Nafisa Collier, but I pull her out of the starting lineup.
It appears to, and it's a man, to think we were talking about all these freshmen here, coach. That I can't believe they didn't make the Olympic team. Like, you can't even sniff the floor right now if you are Angel Reese trying to get onto this team. You ain't getting on the floor. That is how good they are, Coach. But it's amazing to me.
It's amazing. Angel Reese couldn't sniff the floor. But right. You know who could sniff the floor? Caitlin Clark. Because if we're going to get these performances out of these ladies, and you're only going to get 9 minutes out of Chelsea Gray, and you're going to get Jackie Young not scoring, Kalia Comper not playing, you get all these girls not playing or not scoring well. Who's the best shooter in the WNBA?
Yep.
Probably Caitlin Clark. So Caitlin Clark at the point with Stewie and Asia Wilson and Taurasi just dying to sit in the corner and make threes. Yep. This is your last Olympics. We'll let you enjoy it. Caitlin Clark would have been a
game player. Yeah.
Right. And it's completely changed, really. And I know we're talking a lot about it. It's completely has changed the narrative because I didn't think she was ready. And then I watched the last 10 games. I'm like, oh, she's ready. And then I watched the Olympics. Yeah. I'm like, she can give us 15 minutes easy and make us better.
Mm. Yep. For 40 minutes of this game, coach, three spots on the floor were always occupied by Wilson, Stewart, Collier, Griner, or Alyssa Thomas, and they were absolutely monstrous. We're talking about 39 of 46 points combined for those players. The grouping is phenomenal. The players that they can swap in and out at any time is phenomenal. And yet all we hear from the men's side is, I can't believe this guy. I can't believe Embiid's not starting. I can't believe Tatum's not starting. Like, why are we so caught up with who is starting for an Olympic team with the men's side? I don't get it.
Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
Yep.
When you go and get the 12 best players in the world, this is what happens. And here's the thing. It don't matter who the hell we roll out there with the women. We're going to win. It's just obvious. The men is different, but I did say on this network that I expected more Anthony Davis and more Bam Adebayo against South Sudan because of the five-out ball screen offense, and they pull the guy. You need guys that are going to switch and play in the perimeter. Now we know Embiid is going to go back and start supposedly against Puerto Rico. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know what the Embiid point prop is. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. because we did all this to recruit this kid, and he was going to go to France, and then we sit him on the bench after starting just about every game. He's going to go off, and listen, if this was 2004 and Carlos Arroyo was playing, I'd say we may be in trouble. But Puerto Rico, oh, no. They're in trouble.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no, no. It's bad. It's going to be bad. I will take the USA minus the points, and I will take the, if I could get a team total under for that game, I'm taking it. It's not out on FanDuel yet. I'm sure it'll be there tomorrow. Listen, 66 points, 70 points. That's what they scored. Folks, take my glasses off. They lost to Serbia by 41 points, and the line is 32.5, and you got guys pissed off that they didn't play? Shoot, I'll put my butt and my glasses back on, Joe. I can't see.
I saw a stat today that was amazing, which just goes to show if the dream team coach, they had in 6 wins, right, for gold medal back then, 8 different starting lineups, 8 on their way to gold there. If the dream team can get over it, why can't this team here, coach? That's my question.
Because Eagles reigned supreme. And at the end of the day, we knew who the best player in the world back then. It was Jordan. No one questioned it.
Yeah.
It's about pride over country. Represent us right, play the right way, and go kick Puerto Rico's ass on Sunday or Saturday. That's all we care about. Don't care who plays. Just play hard, represent our country, and bring home the damn gold. Nothing but blowouts.
Well said, coach. Appreciate the time as always. Game Time Decisions returns here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Welcome to August, by the way. We've got plenty to be excited about. We got some NFL back in action here tonight, the Hall of Fame game. Welcome back, football. But we also have just a tremendous Olympic Games going on right now. Storylines all over the place. And the golfers, 60 of the best around the world representing their countries, teed off early this morning. And it was Hideki Matsuyama with an 8 under 63, one shy of the course record. Out in front here, Brady Cannon, no doubt, has not been to sleep in 2 days because he was looking forward to this and was up at 3 o'clock in the morning watching this. And Matsuyama was phenomenal. No doubt, calm as a, and cool as a cucumber. 63, hell of a start. But you would think with that kind of start, Brady, he'd be 3, 4, 5 shots ahead of the next guy. Not so much here because guess who is right behind him there with Xander Schauffele?
Ah, you're exactly right. Guess who? And you can make an argument that guess who played better than Hideki Matsuyama. If you look at the numbers, Schauffele was one of the few guys in the field that gained strokes in every category, with the putter, with the irons, off the tee, you name it. Xander Schauffele was up to his usual tricks. Hideki obviously gets off to a stellar start. And he does make sense for this golf course. He's accurate off the tee. He's a great ball striker. He can be real streaky with the putter, which he was today. But Hideki has not been in great form. You know, he wasn't good at the Open, Travelers Championship, missed a cut recently, and then comes out and, you know, he's on fire here in round one. We'll see if it holds up. I think he's going to be okay. He's going to be in the conversation. But the putter is not going to stay as hot as it was today, in my opinion. He gained over 3 strokes on the field with the putter. He was second in this field with the putter today. Now, he was also really good strokes gained tee to green. But, you know, you hate to see those outlier rounds where you're so hot because you're bound to cool off. Xander is scary because there wasn't like he was off the charts in any particular area. He was just typical, steady Xander Schauffele. Actually, Sepp Straka and Emiliano Grillo led the field in tee to green. Straka, Connors, Oberg, Hovland, and Tom Kim were all better than Matsuyama with the irons. Scheffler, Lowry, Grillo, Xander, and Neiman were all within a half shot as far as strokes gained of Matsuyama. So, you know, I don't like to really go in and make opinions, you know, make statements, make bold predictions after just one day of golf, Joe. I really like to see what's going to happen in day two. And then you can start to see a pattern maybe forming with certain guys. But right now, I'm not convinced this is Hideki's gold medal because he was so hot today with the putter. I imagine he's going to fall off a little bit in round two.
We talked a lot about John Rahm, who had it to 5 under par, and then he puts one in the drink on the par 3 16th there. Still shot 67, still lurking, still very much in contention for a medal here. But exactly how in the hell did Wyndham Clark make the Olympics, Brady? can you help me out here? Like, my goodness, this guy.
I almost sent out a tweet in the middle of the night. You know, I kept kind of waking up in the middle of the night every couple hours, checking the scores and stuff like that. And I was going to ask, did Wyndham Clark play the Ryder Cup course that was so much tougher on the Americans in 2018?
Unreal.
But I wanted to be nice. But, yeah, he's this guy, ever since he came out and took a shot at the LIV players for only playing 54 holes at the Masters,
yeah,
and then he ends up missing the cut, he's never been the same. Started off this year so hot, got a little braggadocio at the Masters. How'd that taste, Wyndham? You haven't been good, and he's been bad here. Bryson DeChambeau should legitimately be representing America here, but it's about world ranking points, and we know that system is flawed at this point. You mentioned John Rahm, and he's a guy that both you and I are on, and I still feel perfectly fine about our ticket on John Rahm. This guy really should be probably at 6 or 7 under par if he doesn't rinse that one on 16. Yep. He comes right back the next hole and makes another birdie. He cost himself 2 shots on that hole, and that really affected his iron play numbers quite a bit. He actually lost about a half stroke to the field with his iron play today, and lost about a third of a stroke with his putter as well. He was really good off the tee, and he was exceptional around the greens. I think he chipped in twice, maybe once for eagle and one, I know at least once for birdie, but he was really wicked as far as scrambling. And that's why I like to wait 2 days to see what's going on here. If the iron play continues to struggle for Rahm, we're in trouble. But I think he could very well turn that around and be right in the mix here heading into the weekend.
So another guy we talked about yesterday, who's got a 2-year military service waiting for him if he doesn't get a medal, was Tom Kim. Benny On was another one. Tom Kim also right there, still pretty good odds right now. And so is Joaquin Niemann, a guy that we've talked a lot about. And this kind of feels like, you know, it wouldn't shock me if he all of a sudden is at the top of the leaderboard at the end of round two.
Two more guys that I really like this week, Joe, and we're on Niemann. I did not play Kim, but I know some very sharp people that like Tom Kim. Another two guys like Schauffele that gained strokes on the field in every category. I think Niemann still at 12-1 is a really good value, you know, and I don't think Kim is a bad play at this point. You talk about the motivation to avoid that military commitment. And by the way, this is the one guy in the field that just played this tournament last year and finished 6th.
Yes.
And that's Tom Kim. So he's familiar with this golf course. The golf course makes sense for his skill sets, as it does for Joaquin Niemann. Niemann, we'll see what happens with the putter. The putter has really been his bugaboo, but he did well today with the flat stick. Niemann gained over a stroke on the field with the putter. So if he continues that, he is absolutely going to be in the conversation.
I has to be here. I think it's going to be phenomenal. Again, 3:00 in the morning Eastern time, everyone teeing off. Is that what the schedule is looking like, Brady?
That's what we do. Yeah, and it's going to be that way the rest of the way as far as I know because there's no cut here. So I don't think the start times are going to be adjusted.
Well, get to bed, will you? We got more to talk about tomorrow. Let's go. Game Time Decisions continues here. Appreciate it, Brady.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions. We look to close out this first hour together. Welcome to August. That's right, August 1st. That means football is back, and we've got much to be excited about. In fact, every Thursday from here on out, we'll have some rendition of football for us to talk about, watch, and of course, bet on. And tonight is no different with the Hall of Fame game and the Bears and the Texans getting ready to go at it. We'll have much more on this game. We'll take a look at some props. We'll also take a look at the NFL season as a whole, especially since we've got, well, some news earlier today. Not great news, by the way. If you are a Chargers fan, we learned that Justin Herbert sustained an injury to his plantar fascia and his right foot. So what does that mean? Well, they're being extremely coy about this. They're saying that he's going to be in a walking boot for about 2 weeks. Then they're gradually going to begin to work him out. And they don't foresee any issues with him not being ready for the start of the season. Now, that's all fun and fine and puppy dogs and rainbows. But the reality is there is a good shot here that Justin Herbert will not be 100%, may miss some time, and is going to have to deal with a lot of pain. I know guys that have had this injury before, and it's not fun. And in the NFL, as a quarterback, this could be a bigger problem than they are letting on to. We hope, we keep our fingers crossed, but not a great way to start as Justin Herbert looking, coming off a season where he missed, by the way, four games. He had that broken finger on his right hand. The Chargers have gone only, I believe, 5-8, I believe, with Herbert as a starter last year as it is. But they are going to have to move forward thinking that he'll be ready for game number one. And we hope as well, because I think the Chargers are going to be a fun team to keep an eye on. The Tennessee Titans, probably not going to be a fun team regardless, but D-Hop also out reportedly 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury he sustained at practice here. It's unfortunate. Love D-Hop, but I would not make him one of my top fantasy picks anytime soon. No word on the extent, just that it's a 4 to 6 week. They said the MRI came back negative for anything long term, but 4 to 6 weeks, that's unfortunate for D-Hop. And of course, Levy, that's not really good for him either. We do have a couple of baseball games underway so far right now, and I don't believe we have a score. I'm sorry, it's a 1-1, now a 2-1. It looks like Guardians lead over the Orioles at home. And again, Trevor Rogers, the newly acquired former Miami Marlin, should have given you pause right there. But Trevor Rogers thrown on the mound for the Orioles today after barely getting fitted for a uniform. Why? Because they have absolutely nobody else to throw. Everyone else is hurt on the Orioles at this point. But the Guardians going off right now, 2-1, still got, I believe, a runner on, but I do like Trevor Rogers here. I think it's a good fit for the Orioles here, the big lefty coming over from Miami. The Royals have no interest in messing around with the Tigers. Seth Lugo on a mound for the Royals. They have already put up a three spot at the top of the first inning off of Montero, and the Tigers, what's the word I'm looking? Terrible, yes. They have nothing left. They've traded away just about all their pieces that are worth anything except for Scoobal. But without Riley Green healthy and availability, no interest in the Tigers, even at home. Seth Lugo, Royals have been fantastic. 8-3 on the road with him starting here. And I do believe the Royals were a decent favorite here, right around the minus 170, 180 mark. But I do believe you could have got even money laying a run and a half with the Royals here on the road. They are handling business so far against the Tigers. We do have those Marlins coming up also here in about 30 minutes, taking on the Braves as Charlie Morton. Hopefully the Bengay kicks in, so he'll be able to pitch more than five innings this time. That would be fantastic. 8.5 is a total in this game. And gotta believe we have a good shot of getting there here. Marlins have been feisty, even though they've pretty much given away every piece that they had that was worth anything. But kudos to them. They have been feisty, not going away And let's face it, we've all seen Atlanta this year not win games that they were supposed to win. Hopefully those days are behind them. We'll have Cardinals Cubs talk coming up this hour, as well as the Rockies and Angels. But it's all about August 1st in football. Plenty more to talk about as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.